Today, very simply, the message is entitled Salt and Light, and because of the long ministry time, we literally have about 15 to 20 minutes, and I'm going to trust that the Lord lands this and sows the seeds because of the grace that we've had in ministry time and all the words that has gone out. But in this season, as I said, we've had a number of themes going around, and Pietri will always say, you can go to the next slide, please. Pietri will always say, but will the people actually walk it out? Will they live it? Now, I'm not going to go through all of those things, but I believe there's been good chunks of biblical food for us this year that the Lord has spoken and birthed, not through me alone, but through Pietri and Joan and Nick and them and everybody bringing a word in this time and bringing a real clear word to us as a church. Point is, we need to take it home and we need to digest that and make it our own, but that is up to you. I think if I can start off with the baseline is, it is all about Jesus. And in the season that the world is finding itself, we need to be a people that knows Jesus. Amen? I think that'll, if I have to sum it up, that is it. And I would actually like our themes to be like that every single year. We need to really know Jesus. And we need to live that out, and we need to be ready because He will return, and we believe He needs to return pretty soon. And so this theme of salt and light has been just staying with me this week, and so I believe I'm just quickly going to touch on that. There's a quote of John Stott, and he said, we should not ask what is wrong with the world. In this moment, we might ask, in the last number of years, we might have asked, what's wrong with South Africa and the world based in South Africa? For the diagnosis has already been given. We know the world is the world. I always get surprised when I go out and I find the world there. Rather, we should ask, what has happened to the salt and light? And maybe that's just a question we're posing to ourselves. Exactly something that John touched on by the power of the gospel. Is the salt still salty and is the light still shining? Because we can point our fingers at the world all we like, but the thing is, if we as the church, if we as the followers of Christ are little anointed ones, little Christs, truly salt and truly light, not just us, but collectively, the body in South Africa, this place will look totally different. Government will look different. And I'm not talking politics, I'm talking kingdom. Schools will look different. Our streets will look different. The WhatsApp group of the community where I stay will look much different if we are truly salt and light. And that is what I believe the Lord is calling us. Hey, He is saying, hey, time is of essence and time is very little. The time left is very little. Are you truly living a salt-like life and a one of light? So let's jump into scripture. Something we read last week, but let it speak to you again. In Matthew 5, 13 to 16, it says the following. You are the salt of the earth. I'm going to make a statement, and I'm going to start off with that statement. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled on by men. So in a place where obviously there's snow and places are slippery, if the salt is not used for what it's supposed to be used, it can be thrown out so that it can give grip to people to trample upon that literally. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand. And it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see the good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. For whose glory did we sing earlier? His glory. His name. That is why we want to shine and that's why we want to be salt. We want to be part of His business, part of His kingdom business. So let's just quickly stop, take 1-2 minutes and reflect on this. What are you hearing when you see this passage? What are you hearing personally? Anybody? You need to be quick. Be salty? Yes, thanks. Thank you. Thanks, Edna. Wow. Theologians here in the house. Be effective. Tough crowd. Jesus help. What are you hearing when you something else might stand out, but what are you hearing? We're not trusting for condemnation, but we are trusting for conviction as well. What are you hearing when you just on face value read that scripture? Yes, Stephen. Yes, healing of wounds. Do what you are made to do. Yes, I like that. Do what you've been made to do. Anybody else? Any last two guys? Something without salt is just not lekker. If it needs salt, yes. Do not be bland. Ja, moenie boring wees nie. But this is not a Christianity of excitement per se, even though Christianity is pretty exciting. But it gives taste. Yes, Kobus. I love that. Your relationship with Jesus is not your own. I like that. Your relationship with Jesus is not your own. It's not a choice to be salty. It's not a choice to be light. There's many people that need that for wherever we are. The Amplified in verse 13 says the following, and I just want to get a chunk out of there because I believe it just hits the nail on the head. You're the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, and then in brackets it says purpose. I think Edna touched on that. If salt has lost its purpose. And I want to say, hey church, are you still holding on? And are you walking in your purpose? Because that will determine if you're light or salty. If you're actually impacting a world, then please don't hear what I'm not saying. We are impacting the world in different ways. But it needs to be gospel. It needs to be gospel. It needs to be Christ. It can't just be your stunning personality. That's very nice, but it's not going to change somebody for eternity. Amen? So let's not fool ourselves either. But purpose is so important. In the message, I had to throw it in there. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of the earth. If you lose your saltiness, and here it comes, how will people taste godliness? How will people taste godliness? Now, I had a long time that I wanted to spend on this, but I want to flip this because this is a conviction, this is a call for us to be salt and light, but I want to quickly flip this and say, who in your life has been salt and light that has impacted your life? Anybody? Who has really impacted your life? I'll start. Hein Hofstra. I've been walking a road with him for 18 years. He spends countless times. He's taught me without saying it per se, but he's taught me the fear of God and the fear of God in hearing His voice and obeying. He will truly, I've seen this, he's not perfect. We'll sing each other tomorrow morning for accountability. He's not perfect, but he fears God in doing what God says. And he's taught me that. To put a very high value upon the voice of God and following Him. He's been salt in my life and light. Who's been salt and light in your life? Come on, quick. Yes. Wow. His mother died when she was, I'm just repeating for those listening, when he was 10 years old, but everything of the godliness that she carried, she gave to him. Amen. That's a good example. Anybody else? Who's been salt in your life? Pietri. Yes. Pietri's been really salt. He's a salty character. He assaults me sometimes. Pietri can truly assault you. I feel assaulted. Yes, yes. He's assaulted me quite often. But praise God. Please don't quote me. Nita. Yes, mentors. Yes. Thank you. Amen. We need people. Here's the reality is. Did you want to say something? Annalise. Amen. She's definitely one of the salty characters I've got written down here. Look here, we all do and you all have carried salt and light. But here we are encouraged. We are called by the Lord. And if you go sit down and you've got the time to speak, I'm sure if you truly think about it, there's a number of people that's been really salty in your life and really shining the light when you least expect it. I have shared this gruesome testimony before, but you remember when I was still in varsity, not saved. I was playing against Simonsberg and the guy really tackled me very hard and I sweared at him a very ugly swear word as we got up from the ruck. I swear. And I said to him something very fislik. And I ran off and he just looked at me as I looked back and he said, Jesus is lief vir jou. And I stopped. I've shared this before, but it just blesses me to tell it again. I literally stopped. The game is going on. And I stopped him in his tracks. And I said to him, "Jy doen nie dit nie. You don't do that." I was in darkness. I swear the ugliest word known to mankind. And he turns around and he tells me, "Jesus is lief vir jou." It pierced me. It pierced me. That salt hurt me, but in such a good way. That salt ripped into me that I remember it more clearly than many other memories of my life, including family, Christmas, whatever. That moment struck my heart. I never saw that guy again, but I stopped him in his tracks because I was in darkness and I was blind in death. And I said, "You don't do that. That's not fair. You're not playing fair. That's not how the game works." Yet, he was from another kingdom. And he was salt to me when I didn't realize it. A year later, I got saved. Not because of that alone, but man, oh man, that put me back on my behind. There's many other guys in my life. Ross, Rob, I mentioned a number of you guys. Edna, in just the modesty. And I can truly say how where I've lost track and where I've stepped over the line in any way, she's been salt and light in my life. She's the reason I shared, I think, last week that I got saved, or the main reason, by Jesus, that I got saved. You need to have people that salt and life and light in your life, and you also need to be that in other people's lives. There's other places where, and I don't want to talk about me, but I don't want to call us into a space where we think it's only when you share Jesus, only share the gospel. You share Jesus without using words. It's when you love. It's when you stop. It's when you see, when you acknowledge, when you bow the knee, when you wash feet. There's many ways. So I was a young candidate attorney, and a deal was put on my table, and I had to draft the agreements. It wasn't my client. I was just working for other guys. And so I knew that this deal was part above the table, part under the table. Do we understand what that's all about? And I realized, oops, what I'm drafting is not what I overheard the instructions was, right? And so I went to the guys and I said, "Hey, this is quite nice, but this is not truthful in the contract of what's really happening." And I really got nailed for that in a big way. And it's not, I didn't say Jesus, but I believe that's what Jesus would have wanted me to do. Say I was working for a massive mining company. It's the CEO. He just calls you and say, "Quickly, just certify my ID." And you're like, what's not cop in English? You're like this young lighty. And you're standing there, and he's this giant of a man in commercial terms. And he's like, "Certify my ID." I'm like, "Okay, where's your ID? Because I only see the copy." He's like, "No, man, you have seen." I'm like, "I can't certify that your ID if I don't see your ID." So you feel like an absolute fool. And there you stand, CEO. The world will say he's got your future in his hands. And you're like, "Sorry, I'm not going to certify your ID." But it's a moment that we've been called to be salt and light. And please don't hear me saying I always get it right. I once actually drove 130 in a 120 zone. I just want to give some... I want to give some balance. It was 128 once as well. Anyway, we don't have time, Pietri. We don't have time. But the bottom line is that I want to... We should be careful. It's not a self-righteous moment, but we all get these moments where you're either going to be salt and light or you're just going to be like the world. And so if you make mistakes, repent and turn from it. Next time, do it right, right? It's very easy. Be careful how you live. There's another quote for us. Be careful how you live. You will be the only Bible some people ever read. Be careful how you live. You might be the only Bible that some people ever read. I want to ask you, how is your translation? Passion? A bit more passion than the passion? Are you King Jamesy? New King Jamesy? How is your translation of the word that you're living? I don't want to put you on the spot, but I want us to grapple with this. When you engage somebody over email, when you engage them on a WhatsApp, when you engage them on the road or at the rugby, wherever you engage them, specifically at home, where you engage them, you are, luckily my kids do read the Bible, by the way, but you become the word to them. You're a representative of salt and light and of the word of God. And I want to ask, how's your translation? How is your translation? Because we've been called not only for words, in fact, lesser words, more deeds, right? So let's quickly look at these two in 7 minutes. Hallelujah. First one, salt. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? You need to stay salty. That's par for the course. It's no longer good for anything, but it's thrown out and trampled on by men. So you've just lost your purpose. Just as a Christian and a follower, if nobody notices, who's ever been in a job where it's been, and I've heard testimonies like this, like people have been in a job for 2 years and they're like, hey, I believe that other guy that's in the next office is actually a Christian. I'm like, how the heck does it take 2 years for you to know that he's a Christian? Even more so, how did he not know within 2 years of working together that you're not a Christian? Sorry, am I stepping on toes? I'm not meaning to. I'm just saying, how is that possible? How is that possible? You've been working together for 2 years and like it's this amazing thing. Now it's dawned upon you. No, you should have discerned it from day one. Or at least have shared or wondered, is this guy going to hell or not? It is quite important. So why do we need salt and why do we have to be salt? Because salt preserves and saves meat, so to speak. Who likes biltong? I wanted to put up pictures, but I didn't for a reason. Who's ever had biltong without any salt or without it being cured at all? Left there. Who knows what Myers is? What's Myers in English? Maggots. Go Google old meat without salt. You get maggots. A lack of sirloin with maggots. A lack of fillet with maggots. I didn't even want to put the picture up. But that is it. It's absolute decay. And it's destruction. Nobody's going to have that biltong. That biltong is worth nothing. It becomes a different color. It gets maggots, and believe you me. But on the other side, the flip side of the coin, we love biltong. Apologies to the vegans. We'll pray for you afterwards. But we need salt to have those things that we really love and to preserve these things. We've all said, oh, ja, oom Boet, hy sout van die aarde. Or tannie sis, sy sout van die aarde. It's something, and English people, I haven't heard it that much, but salt of the earth type of people. But those are literally the people that preserve in the community. It's like this amazing doctor in a small town community, or the headmaster, or these guys that you just look up to, and they've just kept things together. They've just done the right thing on the right time, and they've just kept on the narrow road. And people look up to them, and hey guys, we've been called for those roads. To be people, to be salt of the earth. Three things as we race through this message, three things that is important of why we need to be salt. Firstly, as we've said, it preserves. Secondly, it seasons. It gives flavor. As Cecilia would say, it makes it lekker. And the third thing, it purifies it. Something Stephen, I believe, said. First thing, preserving influence. Now, salt was used to preserve food. Similarly, Jesus preserves you. Have you seen how Jesus is preserving your life? And what it would have looked like without the salt and light of Jesus? Man, oh man, I dare not to go to the maggoty place of what my life would have looked like without the salt of Jesus. An absolute horrendous thought. Preserving influence of the world, counteracting moral decay and corruption. And let's just hit the pause button. We spoke about marriages. Imagine your marriage without salt. Imagine your marriage without light. Imagine your kids without ever getting the proper salt, or where salt has lost its properties, its saltiness. What will happen to your children? And then as it's not happening in the home, it will just go on and on from there. And so we've been called into a space where through intimacy in Christ, we get preserved. Hallelujah. Our children get preserved. Hallelujah. And then it needs to have an impact upon the communities we live in. Imagine the churches. There's 55 or so churches in the bigger Tableview area, believe it or not. But imagine all of them truly being salt and light. I believe this community should look a slight bit different. We've got a job to do, but so has the bigger bride, to be truthful. And we need to stop sometimes and say, something is not okay. Hey, what's happening down the road? What's happening with the prostitution? What's happening to the babies? What's happening to the youth? We need to some stage say, it is not okay. Annalise had to get up by the grace of God and his anointing and saying, hey, there's a lot of people on the streets. This is not okay. This is not okay. And so what is it that's burning on your heart where you need to stand up and say, this is not okay? I'm getting worked up. I don't know about you. Hallelujah. Secondly, seasoning and flavor. Here's the thing about that flavor. It touches everything. Who's ever had a dish with too much salt? That just proves my point. I've had the first two-thirds of my marriage that I got tested on that one. Edna loves salt. Okay, let's put it there. She's a chef that likes salt. So I get assaulted. But here's the thing. Salt touches everything. And that's the thing. Your life, if truly salty, as with light in this room, it touches everything. Unfortunately, the lack thereof as well. And lastly, it purifies. And I believe this is such a valuable thing. It needs to purify. It needs to constantly, the Word and the Spirit needs to constantly purify our lives. I'm going to jump into light as we're going to run down to close this off. You are the light of the world. The city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. You, as a Christian, a follower, anointed one, albeit at work, in your school, in your street, you cannot be hidden. You may not be hidden. No one lights up a lamp and put it on a basket, rather than on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men. Let your light shine before men. Do not fear man, fear God. Let your light shine before men. Firstly, this is a statement of truth, and I want to declare it over you and over this congregation. You are the salt. You are the light of this world in Christ Jesus. And it comes when we are intimate with Him, spend time with Him, and He changes us. Secondly, He's the source. And you can go check John 8. It says that He is the source. But I want to get to the third point because I believe there's some emphasis on that. You can go to the next one, the next one, the next one. There you go. I want to just quickly stop here because I believe we've neglected, and I've said this before, we've neglected. You know, this is Jesus, the Logos, the Word, who is also the light of the world, right? So here is all of it. And so if you want to shine, you need to know what it says. Not saying you need to be like the Pharisees and know it verbatim, but not have the heart of Jesus. No, it's the Spirit and the truth that comes together. But we need to be a people of the Word. How can you live the Word if you don't know what it says? How can you live the Word if it's not dissected between bone and marrow, soul and spirit? If it's not done its proper job in you, will you allow the Word to work in you so that it can work through you? If you want to be the light, if we want to be the light of the world and we don't read the Word, we can forget about it. You ain't going to put anything on. You're not going to dispel any darkness. We need to get the Word in. Make sure it does its thing over time in you. And then you live out that light to the world. And finally, I want to say the following. Anybody wondering if they're salt and light? Anybody who's brave enough to say, I'm kind of wondering if I'm salt or light. Anybody? Okay, great. For the three and a half of you, here's the last point. For the rest of you guys, you can just chill. We're almost going home. But how do I test if I'm really salt and light? I think it's very easy. There's three things. Do I look like Jesus? Does my life look anything like Jesus? Am I living? Am I speaking? And I'm doing. I'm not saying, am I hitting the ball? Am I perfect? Please don't hear what I'm not saying. But I'm saying, am I in a constant process of becoming more like Christ? And am I Christ-like? And am I living out the fruit of Jesus? Am I sometimes stopping in a conversation or at a party saying, hey, this is not okay? Am I stopping my children saying, hey, this is not okay? Am I stopping myself in the behind closed doors and saying, hey, this is not okay? Am I looking like Jesus? Is my life looking like Jesus? The second thing is very simply righteousness. We are called to live righteously. We are called to live and bear the fruit of the Lord and those righteous fruit that can only come from intimacy. And then the last one, and this might shock you or floor you, or you can go test it. The third one is the good test for knowing if you're truly salt and light. It's called persecution. Persecution. Ooh, sounds like a Mufasa. Persecution. Say to your neighbor, persecution. Persecution. Because here's the thing. You're either going to try to be popular or you're going to get persecuted. You can't have both. You can't have both. You can't be popular to the world and yet also be the salt in their wounds. Because here's the thing is, if you're truly salt, you're going to irritate the idols in people's lives. And you're going to burn the wounds. Guys, you're going to burn the wounds and you're going to irritate the idols. That is what salt does. But the heart is to preserve. The heart is love. So at first, people are not going to like that. We like to be preserved, but we don't like the process. Don't touch my idols. Don't talk about too much coffee. It is not comfortable for me. We can talk about some other things. But here's the thing about being salt. It's inevitably, if you want to be truly salt and light, you're going to be persecuted. Who feels like some persecution? Okay, another four. We can change the world, I'm sure. We just need to club together. But here's the thing. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Church, we have lots of things to say. We have lots of things to say. But we are called to be salt and light. And with that comes the test of being able to be persecuted and not popular. And we need to deal with that. And that gets only dealt with not by closing off your heart, becoming all cool. It only gets dealt with through intimacy with Jesus. Because in that space, in that intimate space with Him, in that encounter place with Him, it makes sense. And the price of any persecution is nothing compared to the intimacy and the eternal value of what we've been called for. I want you to realize that. Because we stand before that daily to decide, am I going to be salt and light or am I open to be persecuted? It says there in John 3, and you can go read it at home. It actually says that people don't necessarily want salt and light. Boom, I can't believe it. Why? So that their deeds may not be exposed, because anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light, but yet people avoid it because they actually like the things of the dark. Sorry, but this is what Scripture says. We're not born good. We're not born good. We need Jesus. And then He helps us. But here's the thing. As more as you grow and being salt and light, there's going to be people that actually do not like the light or the salt. And we need to be fine with that. But we are what? Sons of light. Who wants to be sons and daughters of light? Hanging out with sons and daughters of light. And then lastly, in 1 John 1:7, it says, "For we walk in the light as He is in the light." As we do that, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin. So what are we saying is that, hey guys, we need to be salt and light, and we might have a convicting moment, but we need to realize that not only the test, but the price of being salt and light at work, the price of being salt and light on that family WhatsApp group, the price of being salt and light on Facebook, or at church, or in small group, that price comes with a price, and it's called persecution. Let's just quickly pause before we end. If people disagree with you because of your opinion, it's not always persecution. Persecution is if you are actually in line with Jesus' will. Okay. So if I run at full tilt into the wall and I hit my head and I've got such a big egg on my head and people start pointing their finger at me and I call it persecution, I'm stupid. That's not persecution. That's personality. It's two different things. Persecution is because of Jesus and the kingdom and being salt and light, not stupid. I'm speaking to myself. I'm using myself as an example. Because often people do what they want, and if somebody corrects them or shows them something in the Word, they call it persecution. No, that might not have been God. That might have been you. So let's not get confused. But we are called to be salt and light. Will you stand as we close in prayer, please? If I could sum up my heart for us as a church community and those of us that walk a road together, it's very simply this, that we will not lose our saltiness and that we will not hide our lamps. Please don't hear that it is not wise sometimes to be quiet and not to throw your pearls to swine in a moment. But there's other times when the Lord says, in spite of you, share the light. There's moments where He says, you need to be salt now, even though you might not be popular. Because one day we'll stand before Him. And then it will matter if I've been salt or light. In love and humility. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your grace tonight and lots of life. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, that You are ultimately salt. I can't be salt. Nothing in me is salt. Everything in me, bar You, is flesh. And it has a stench. But once You inhabit me, once You come and create Yourself in me, once I have Your Spirit and I start growing in maturity and become more Christ-like, I can become more like Jesus, more salt and more light. And that's what we are rooting for, Lord. And then as You form this salt and light in us, Lord, we just want to share that with this world. And so I said it last week, but simply, if you want to be more salt and light like Jesus, just raise your hand. We're just going to do a simple prayer so that we can truly impact our lives, the lives of other people, to preserve, to give godly flavor, life, and to purify. Lord, thank You for all of these hands. And Holy Spirit, we ask that You will come upon us as a people. Again, to be a church, to be individuals, to be families of salt and light. To dig into the Word, to eat the Word, to enjoy the Word, to feast upon the Word, to have the grace through Your Spirit, to be anointed. And then in tough moments, to say, this is not okay. To stand up because the King is standing up. To speak because Jesus is speaking. To be salt because He is salt in this moment. Not because I've got a nice idea. Lead us in that, mature us in that. And Lord, may we help many others be preserved. Many marriages, many families. Many believers, but many unbelievers come to preservation, to salvation, to a new flavor, and to be purified and kept for eternity. Hallelujah. We want to head home with lots of people because we've been salt and light by Your grace. In Jesus' name, thank You for sealing this word. Amen. Amen.